You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We support our local team and our local brewery, Phantom Brewery. And they've decided to support us back, and you guys, by offering a 10% off code, EPR10, when used on their website, phantombrew.com, will get you 10% off anything you order this season. That code again, EPR10.
Lafondra looking to get cross-side of Font. Lafondra away from David! 3-1 Reading! 3 points Reading!
Bonjour, salut, guten Abend. And all the usual jazz. It's me, Jacob Southcline, back with another Elm Park Rules preview podcast, supported by Phantom Brewing Co. in RG1, that's in Reading. That's a postcode. Now, I was fully intending on getting on a nice, fresh-faced, eager Cardiff City fan to talk to us today. The dreaded COVID has struck him down like a bolt of lightning. He's got COVID, and I spoke to him on the phone earlier. Sounds very, very croaky. So whilst he recovers, I've got James Earnshaw with a Welsh accent. No, I haven't. I've just got James Earnshaw with his regular accent, his regular local Berkshire accent. He's the Berkshire boy making all the noise. It's James Earnshaw.
Right, Jacob, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm very glad to see you back in these parts. It's your first appearance of the season. How is life at the Reading Chronicle treating you?
Yeah, no, that's good. It was a long old weekend up in Blackpool on the weekend, but, you know, many more to come this season and hopefully not as sort of disappointing and depressing as that one. Although I did make Paulins laugh because a bird almost defecated on my head. So.
Right. I've been meaning to ask you about this. I'm really glad it's you on and not J-Lo, because you know how Jonathan Lowe at Berkshire Live cranks out his five things you might have missed from the weekend article? One of the five things you might have missed was you almost getting shat on by a bird.
He didn't tell me
he
even used that. He didn't tell me that he was using me. I should have asked some credit. Yeah.
Well, that's it. Yeah. You should be on commission. You should try and get like deliberately pooed upon every week from now. See how long you can keep the streak going on our away days. But making Paul Ince laugh is always, you know, you deserve bonus points for that because it's not easy to do. So well done.
Not at the minute, it's not.
No. Well, on that note, that's the perfect segue into what we're talking about now. It's been yet another week of injuries and all sorts of various voodoo hoodoo in the Reading camp. We thought we'd shaken off our injury record, and then game week one, we've had two people missing, and straight from Ince's presser, James, we've had yet more injury news this week, haven't we? But we don't know who it is.
Yeah, no, he said he doesn't want to give anything away, which I kind of get, but I don't kind of get to why now is the point at which he doesn't want to give it away when he's giving it away every other week. But yeah, so there's two more players that aren't going to be involved. And it's, you know, take your pick. You know, it's not like the most injury prone players. It's literally all of them because they're also injury prone. So it could be two out of any. Fingers crossed it's Bouzanis and you know, some other random teenager that we wouldn't see, but he wouldn't mention it if it wasn't. So I'm expecting two of the players that started to not, which then leaves the way for some kids to play, considering the average age of our bench was about 17 last week.
It immediately puts the pressure on again, though, doesn't it? Because the squad was already looking threadbare against Blackpool. By the way, side note, you know, it's such a running thing to go up to Blackpool first game of the season when everyone was expecting a nice away day in the sun, get a few pints in, you know, soak in some rays, and then like so much rain. So much rain. Like in a year where we've had one of the like biggest heat waves of all time, only we can get rained upon in Blackpool.
The Friday and the Sunday were nice though. So just literally the day of the match.
But I mean, that, if that wasn't like a portent or like some like some like prophecy, yeah, I don't know. But like in terms of the squad we had against Blackpool, there was even back then we were saying, oh, wouldn't it be nice to get in a couple of those signings that have long been mooted? Mm. Like Naby Sarr has seemingly been on the cusp of signing now for almost a fortnight. And there's the chap from Porto as well, Mamadou Loom, the defensive midfielder. So we've also been frustrated there, haven't we, James? Because according to Ince in his presser, they're still definitely in limbo and in the pending category because the EFL aren't playing ball, are they?
No, not with Naby Sarr. Loom's all signed. He just officially needs to pick up his visa, which I'm kind of surprised that they allowed us to sign him without the visa. But I'm not sure if it's a case of him just literally going to the office to pick it up or if he's actually got to apply. But he's got to go to London on Sunday to pick up his visa or do whatever he needs to do. So he's hoping to potentially have him involved for Stevenage on Tuesday. Naby Sarr is now looking like next week. And last week it was looking like it's going to be this week. So that's going to be probably one that goes right to the end of his four-year, you know, prospective four-year contract. You know, they're all still expecting him to sign. You know, he's, as far as I'm aware, he's had all the official things signed and he's, you know, had all the pictures done and ready. It's just waiting to be officially stamped and released. So it's a frustrating one, you know, but thankfully, I guess we've got enough defenders, or we did have on Saturday, for it to actually look like one of our strongest sort of positions. You know, so it's not the end of the world, I guess. It's just mainly for depth. There's just nobody that you can bring anybody off the bench if you need it.
Well, depth aside as well, there were after playing a full set of pre-season fixtures with a 3/5 at the back, there were worries going into that Blackpool game that we tweaked to a fullback. But if you actually watch the game, it sounded like it was the same pre-season setup, but just classic Reading, like shoehorning players into positions that aren't really their natural positions, just to, you know, for the sake of preserving a formation. Like we saw Hoylett at wing back, didn't we? And
Niedom tucked in.
Well, that's it, at centre-back. So, I don't know, again, going into the weekend, it's going to be another case of square pegs in round holes, isn't it, really?
Yeah, although, again, though, you know, I'd like to think there are kids in those natural positions who could easily fill in a job. I mean, there's no reason why, if we wanted to put Ian on back to wing-back and drop Hoylett, or if he was the one that was injured or whatever, there's no reason why Strickland or Holzman or whatever couldn't fill in just for a game. Or, you know, is it Craig or Clark, the one from Rochdale?
They
impressed. Yeah, they impressed.
Oh, no, John Clark, sorry.
John Clark, yeah.
Yeah,
they impressed. You know, these players are only going to get, you know, to prove themselves when they're given the chance. So rather than square peg around holes, why not give them a chance? But I think Ince this year, more than any, just wants experienced players that you know what you're going to get, and just put them out there and kind of expect a 6 out of 10. For most of them. So, you know, Tuesday should be an interesting one. It'll be mainly a youth team. But, you know, he could surprise us on Saturday and put a few fresh-faced kids in.
Well, that's it. On the subject of experience and getting that through the door, he's still banging the drum, Paul Ince, for getting in a more experienced left-back to provide a bit more support for the very young and inexperienced Nestor Guinness-Walker, who had a so-so performance, I think it's fair to say, against Blackpool. It looks like we might be signing Amari Hutchinson sometime between like now and 2025 if the EFL get their act together, and then that elusive striker up front who might, well, if we can get him in sooner rather than later, might compensate for the temporary loss of Shane Long, who isn't going to be ready for the weekend, and also Lucas Zhao, who's still out for the foreseeable. So that's what it's looking like in terms of the personnel for the weekend. Let's talk a little bit about the opponents now. Cardiff, because now that Alex can't be with us, it's time for us to do our best Cardiff City analysis. I know. Well, I live here is the thing, so I should have, absorbed some of like the local, you know, what's going on with the local club by osmosis, but it hasn't really happened. But I mean, I suppose the headline is, isn't it, that Cardiff City by far and away have been the most. Yes, so that's it. They won their opening fixture against Norwich, which is very impressive. Norwich obviously tipped to do quite well this season. But in what has been a summer of upheaval for Reading, there's also been a summer of upheaval for Cardiff, but in a much more positive way, in that they've been by far and away the most active team in the transfer market in this division. I think 13 new players have come through the door, including Andy Rinnemhotter, who seems to be getting quite good early reviews. Are there any of those additions that Cardiff have made that have really caught your eye, James? Are there any that you think, oh, you know, could Reading have maybe taken a look at them, even though obviously our situation is a bit more precarious?
It's mainly the goal scoring player from Saturday, Romain Sawyers, who's sort of always caught the eye in the Championship. He's sort of everything that I sort of semi hoped Ajari would be, and sort of that kind of player that you kind of let what do what they want to do because they're good enough on their day to win a game on their own. Obviously, Sawyers is a bit sort of bulkier and stronger and sort of more box to box, but sort of he's such a talent at this level that if you just let him do what he wants to do, you know, he might not necessarily work particularly well in a team, but you know, he's got that individual talent that can unlock defences and score goals like he did on Saturday. So he'd definitely have been one I'd have looked at. And it looks like Paul Ince was looking at one player they brought in, Cedric Kiepre.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about this. Yeah.
Yeah, and formerly of Wigan as well, a centre half, very much in the Saar role, sort of bring in on presumably a loan because he's still under contract at West Brom. And it sounded like it got very, very close. But apparently Cardiff just came in and just absolutely gazumped him in terms of what they could offer financially. And he went there instead, which, you know, is got sort of the what happened to Reading over the last couple of seasons, really.
Well, that's it. I mean, we are really like bottom of the food chain when it comes to picking up players. And I suppose it's all the more credit to players like Naby Sarr that have managed to maintain an interest in what we're offering, even though they could quite happily go somewhere else and, you know, be on better money or more secure terms. And even though I know that Sarr's getting quite a long contract from us by the sounds of it, 4 years. But so, yeah. And the other point to mention is that Cardiff aren't done in the market either. Like they are still shopping around. They've literally, just as we record, they've announced their new number nine, Keon Eteta, who is a big target man. He might well be turning out against at the weekend. So all in all, Cardiff are definitely going to be looking like an improved proposition this season because obviously they beat us at home last season 2-1 after Lucas Joao put us ahead in the first 5 minutes. What are you expecting from the game, James? Because in Steve Morrison, they've got a decent manager, haven't they?
Yeah, to be honest, they're a total unknown quantity. I mean, more or less the whole 11's different. You know what you're going to get with Steve Morrison. I mean, you're not a Millwall stalwart for no reason. You know what kind of football you're going to get. It's going to be sort of high pressure. It's going to be, you know, big, strong players that like to win, you know, win the ball and like a tackle. So the players, Reading players, are going to have to stand up and be counted this weekend. You know, it's going to be an interesting game, but I have honestly no idea what to expect because, you know, yeah, they won the first game, but, you know, it's the first game. Norwich would have taken time to settle. Both players went down to 10 men. Both teams went down to 10 men. So, you know, you can't, you know, necessarily judge off one game, but they also remained unbeaten in pre-season. So, you know, they're obviously not a bad outfit. It's going to be a difficult test, as they all are. But, you know, I think home form is going to be absolutely crucial this year if we're going to stay up after the last few years of it being pretty woeful. So hopefully we can start off with a win or at least something, a positive result or positive performance at the very least.
Well, that's it. You've touched upon the form that Cardiff have coming into this season. I know it's pre-season and I know people sometimes read too much into pre-season, but, you know, they've beaten some handy sides. I mean, they beat Cambridge, Newport, Cheltenham, drew against Shrewsbury, had a game called off against Forest Green, slapped Swindon, I'm very happy to see, and then obviously that very impressive opening day win at home. But, you're talking about our own home record. This is the first time that fans are going to be able to see Reading in the league this season. So, yeah, and obviously there's the narrative, isn't there, in that, like you said, it sounded like Paul Ince was whining and dining Kipre, like, right to the last minute and ended up signing for them. Perry Ung, another player that was linked to Reading in the past and ended up signing for Cardiff. He played at centre-back the other day and ended up getting sent off, which is quite funny. In terms of where the goals are coming for Reading, it's tough again, isn't it? Because, again, we're relying on playing the likes of Mate up top, in the absence of Zhao, who's going to be a big miss for a few weeks now. Like, where do you see the goals coming from the weekend? Because I think in a tweet that Elm Park Royals put up the other day, I was asked to guess first goal scorer of the season. I think I went for Tom Ince then.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think he was one of our more lively players against Blackpool. He does love a shot. So where are the goals coming from for you, James?
Well, Saturday was mainly a lot of long balls up to Mate, getting out wide and getting crosses in. Sorry. But the problem, obviously, with Mate is he's not a natural striker. So he's never in the right position when the ball comes back. You know, it's a shame about Shane Long, because he is exactly the natural kind of player that would just be in that right place at the right time just to get the ball in. Because we had chances on Saturday. The balls were flying across and it just wasn't quite falling. So there's definitely sort of ammunition there. We've then it's just a case of then getting the players in the right position. I think Hendrick and Ince love a shot. So, you know, there's no reason they could not shoot from far out, a ricochet and go in, or, you know, maybe even a McIntyre or a Holmes from a corner. I can't see the goals necessarily coming from one source, especially not until Zhao comes back, because none of them are consistent, reliable scorers. But there are players in there that have proved that they've got a finish in them. So, you know, I think we'll be okay. We've mainly got to fix the leaky defence, you know, conceding, was it 84 goals last season, the most in the EFL. You know, that's the main problem, not necessarily scoring.
It's just problems on so many fronts, isn't there? Because, like, you mentioned the defensive record, but also...
Yeah, we've said defensive, we've said up front. Should we just pick the field apart as well?
Well, that's it. Our all-new, completely, like, fresh midfield, yeah. Well, that's the thing, because if you take last season into account as well, we failed to score in our last four championship games, which is pretty damning, and then lost all four of those too. I'm looking at the head-to-head now between Reading and Cardiff in their last six meetings. So in the six previous meetings that we've had with Cardiff, one of which was that FA Cup game, which we ended up winning on penalties, wasn't it? Who's now betrayed as stabbed in the back. Yeah. I'll tell you what, it doesn't make for as bad reading as I thought it would. So we've won three of those games, and Cardiff won one, drawn two. And then we've scored nine, Cardiff scored eight. This is the big headline for me, right? In those six games, James, we've got six yellow cards. Cardiff, 17. Cardiff got booked 17 times in their last six matches against Reading. That's astonishing.
How far does that stretch back? Does that stretch back to Warnock, Cardiff? Or
that stretches back to the 31st of January 2020, which I believe would
have been... So Warnock would have left by then. So is Neil Harris? Neil Harris,
man. I don't know what he's telling them. Yeah, that's shocking.
I mean, you look through the managers that you've just read out. I mean, they're not exactly fast-flowing, attractive football, are they? So there's no reason why
I have a sneaky suspicion that Cardiff are going to be a bit further up the table than Reading this year. So I won't knock them too much. And I suppose all that's left to do then, James, is if we're putting our money where our mouth is, what we thinking as far as the scoreline is concerned? Because, I mean, you'd hope there'd be a little bit of home advantage. First game of the season, hopefully a few Reading fans turn out, because it's you know, first home game of the campaign. It has to be a good turnout, right? But in terms of the score, that's a lot harder to predict, because I do... Last week I predicted a draw and that ended up not happening, obviously. So I kind of don't want to put the kiss of death on them again, but I think it's going to be really, really tough. What about you?
Yeah, I was going to go for a draw. I reckon 1-1. Solid point. Take the point, move on. Another game to recover the players and move on to next Saturday away at Rotherham, which, you know, it's dark. You can't say must win in August, but, you know, it's a game that you should earmark as you should pick something up from it.
Yeah, just need to stop the rot, get your first point on the boards. use it as a springboard onto getting something against Rotherham. Well, that's it. And you know, these things follow on from each other often, don't they? I mean, you get your first goal and then the rest start coming. And so, I don't know, you know what? I'm going to go for a high-scoring 2-2 draw. How about that? Just to be exotic. Yeah. Bit of entertainment for people who are going and have bought tickets. Obviously, I should point out that a lot of the people that will be there at the weekend will be the winners of the Elm Park Royals season ticket competition. Thanks to some very, very kind donors, we managed to finance 10 brand new season tickets for several new season ticket holders. So I hope they have a good game. I hope it's nice and sunny. I'm going to be there. You're going to be working, aren't you?
Yep, I'm going to be working. But I wouldn't have it any other way. I'd be there anyway. So
you get all the nice behind-the-scenes access to, like, not only, you know, putting yourself in harm's way of all the seagulls and the birds, you know, low-flying birds, but also, you know, you get to be nice up close and personal with good old Paul Ince and the rest of the Reading FC media gallery. So how's that been, by the way? Because obviously during the summer months, you don't really see much of the media crowds. You know, has it been nice sort of like slotting back into the old Saturday routine with them all?
It's been very nice, especially obviously I'm good friends with Andy Preston in the Wokingham paper. He doesn't do away matches, so today for the press, it was the first time I'd seen him for the summer. It would have been last week, but last week was the first time I'd seen him. J-Lo I spent a lot of time with up at Blackpool. Obviously Tim had a half an hour chat with Glenn Little last week up at Blackpool, which was nice. Still can't quite believe I'm there chatting to Blakey and these other ex-Reading sort of legends, AD Williams and people like that, but you know, it is what it is. It's part of the job, one of the perks, I guess.
Yeah, I'm very jealous. I'd like to spend maybe like 10 seconds in the presence of Glenn Little and then I'd be happy.
He'd still tell you so much in 10 seconds. It's unbelievable. The man talks for England.
But he's got an answer for everything. He has got an answer for everything. He's like most of the people that turn out on this Elm Park Royals preview podcast, honestly. So, I was also going to say, had you not been working, I would probably try and catch you down at Blue Collar Street Food, who has just been announced are sponsoring Elm Park Royals again for this season. So thank you, Blue Collar. I probably won't see you before the game, James, but I should see you at some point because I'm holding some of your beers hostage in a carrier bag. So more on that on a future podcast. But for the time being, I just want to thank you for coming on at short notice.
Thanks for having me.
We should pay you extra this week because you've had to. You're always a valuable insight into the goings on in press conferences and Reading FC. But your valuable insight into all things Bluebirds as well, like, should not go unnoticed. So
honorary.
So thank you very much. Oh yeah, but I wouldn't say that too loud. You'll get cancelled on the Reading FC hashtag. So, but thank you to James. Thank you to you guys for listening in at home. We'll be back next week, probably Thursday, Friday, to preview the game after that. That will be the Rotherham game. And keep your eyes peeled on all the EPR socials. And Paul and the gang will be back after the match to pore over the carcass of yet another Reading FC home game. So cheers for listening. Up the ding. See you next time.